Sounds empty, like a Henry Phillips show.
Stop it. All right, I'm going to
turn. We're in a no self-deprecation zone.
I'm going to turn that down. Self-defecating.
Yeah.
We're all self-defecating. If we weren't, it'd be a mess.
Oh, man. Warm theater, warm home. We had to defecate other people.
What do you have any favorite music? Any music you're listening to?
Right now.
Honest to gosh music? Or?
I know there is some stuff. But
I know there's something I'm listening to.
God, what have I been listening to? I know I've been
YouTubing not that you're
stuff.
Not playing music. You play music.
Yeah.
You're probably, and I've told you this before, you're probably the best guitar player among the comedians.
Thanks, yeah.
Not like Eddie Van Halen or anything.
Well, Brian Hayner's pretty great.
I haven't seen Brian Hayner.
Oh, the guitar guy? He's mm-hmm. been on the show?
He's been on the show.
Oh, okay. I remember
he would send some pre-recorded stuff to us there for
That's
a while.
That's right.
He's pretty great. But thanks. No, I'm definitely at least the second best. No, I'm just kidding. Mm. But what I was going to say is Jason Isbell.
Oh, yeah?
That oh, yeah.
fantastic.
Yeah, oh, he's something music. Else.
And
Cover
I
me,
like that whole Americana movement.
Yeah, Cover Me and Elephant. And, yeah. He's got some good stuff out there, yeah.
Yeah, and
it's hard to believe he was in Drive-By Truckers. Those,
oh, really?
I didn't even
oh, he
know.
Left them?
Yeah, so, I didn't. Okay. I don't know if he made it official, but.
Oh, okay.
I used to love the Drive-By Truckers.
I can't quite get into them. I tried to get into them the other night, actually, but it just didn't happen.
Let me look. I bet I have a Drive-By Truckers on.
Well, I can pull something up right here. Do you have a favorite?
Well, I can't. My phone knows what I like. So I just look to my phone.
Oh, God. This is totally you.
I like it. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Is this Drive-By Truckers?
Yep.
I love it.
It's her most popular song.
Yeah,
great
that's
voice. Him. Great that's him, yeah.
You don't know the name of the song, chick?
Mm-mm. I've never heard this song.
GD Lonely Love.
Here's another one. Let's go. Oh, here you go. I recognize this one.
Autumn, First Air of Autumn.
They are in Detroit, Michigan tonight.
First day of autumn, up your nose.
I think I saw them on TV last night.
I think they were on TV. They were on the soundstage. On
yeah,
PBS.
That's exactly what it was.
Yeah.
They always sound like one of them.
Oh, no, Jason Isbell was. Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Not, it always sounds like one of them's going to say, kiss my ass at any point.
No.
Kiss my ass.
It's weird. I detest is a strong word, but I do not care intensely for country and western music.
Right.
But I love this.
Well, I think it's different. It's like I think they call it Americana.
It's Americana. I think yeah. But knowing
or
them,
alt country.
Knowing them, they don't want to name it or label it.
There's
or
literally a thing here, as you said that alt country, the pulse of Americana.
Yeah.
These are playlists.
There's a playlist on Google Play called Farm to Table.
Okay.
There's a lot of that
Farm
stuff.
Farm to Table,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
It's cool. Yeah, Lucinda Williams is pretty great.
Oh, Dirt Road, right?
Yeah. Oh,
so what stuff. Were the first songs that you, obviously, you're a comedian who plays guitar, but you're also, you played guitar first.
Yeah.
What did you listen to that kind of got you into guitar when you were younger?
Well, there were kind of two phases. When I was 8, it was Elvis.
Oh, wow.
Really?
I saw Elvis on TV. I saw some footage of him playing Heartbreak Hotel, and I was like, that is so cool. And he had a guitar, and so I told my mom,
"Hey man,
I wanted to be a guitar player. What's up, man?" And so that started it.
Jeffrey Vibbert is here. Hi, Jeff.
Yeah.
How's it going, everybody?
And then
did he not tell you 11 o'clock?
No, I mean,
no, I said
as early
as
you can.
Yeah, early.
So apparently as early as I can isn't early enough, so... I got to get a beat off it.
Hey,
how's it going, Henry?
Hey, man, good to see you.
Hey, is your ears
gotta
good?
Got to get a beat.
Your level?
Check. I mean, okay. I hear myself fine.
Okay.
Are we too loud?
No, it sounds pretty good.
Okay.
Just I think I sound quieter than you guys, though.
Well, you do kind of talk like this.
Are we on
it's
right
a pretty
now?
Good impression.
Sort yeah. of.
Anyone can do a Henry Phillips impression.
We're as on as we can get.
Okay. Good.
No, we're rolling.
Sounds good to me.
So you were saying you saw...
Yeah, and then the big thing was I think when I was about 11, I heard Iron Man. And then I bought the album, Paranoid, and then sold our souls for rock and roll. And then I was like, I got to do that. And so I got all into metal. So it was basically metal.
I didn't know you were a metal guy.
Yeah, big time. Zeppelin. That wasn't really metal. But whatever it was back then, Maiden, you know.
See, people who are into them, they say Maiden.
Yeah. Maiden are great. Yeah, I don't even say the full name of the band.
I don't know if you're aware of this, but you happen to be in the presence of one of the most enthusiastic John Mayer fans in the continental United States.
Are you a John Mayer fan?
Not really. No, I mean, sure. Sure. I like what he does. Oh, yeah, he's a great guitar
player. That's the thing. No, he's an incredible guitar player.
Yeah, yeah. Right?
I was telling Henry that he's probably...
I thought you were going to say we're in the presence of one of the founding members of Iron Maiden.
Yeah.
I was going to be like, where?
He's the top five best guitar players in comedy. Great. No, you.
Oh, okay.
So, but I think John Mayer is probably, top five guitar player in music, probably. I mean,
he's probably the top five
right?
comedians in guitar player world. Because he actually was a comedian for a little while.
That's what I asking that. No one. Did you work with him?
No, but everybody in New York told me that he would go up at the Cellar. I'll bet Greg Warren saw him. He used to go up at the Comedy Cellar in New York a couple years ago.
Wasn't getting enough girls just playing music?
Yeah, no. He's got to have all the girls. He's going to have every one of them.
I think Eric Clapton said John Mayer is the most talented guitarist he's ever seen.
Wow.
Clapton said that? That's
amazing.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Isn't that become kind of a myth of things? I've heard Eric Clapton says...
There's an interview with it, though.
Is there? Okay.
Yeah, no, I've heard...
Because I've heard it on other
Prince
people,
with
too.
Prince.
Hear the sound,
yeah.
But,
oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. The Prince, I think, was one of them.
I think
heard he said that Rick Astley was the best dancer he's ever seen.
Clapton said that?
Yeah.
Yeah, Clapton. That's what I heard. Yeah.
He's got some moves.
Clapton is the one who said, "I am become death, destroyer of worlds."
No, that was Robert J. Oppenheimer.
Oh, sorry.
And that stupid hat. And now we're going to go back to Henry Phillips' bedroom.
Yeah, this is it right here.
It's kind of funny to think that the lead singer in this band would become Ozzy Osbourne and have his own reality show, and
unbelievable.
His wife would be on, what is it, the Chew or the Talk or whatever she's on.
It doesn't totally surprise me, though, looking back, because he always had a sense of humor. He's a really funny guy. Yeah. Ozzy is
That's really true.
Every time he's in an
Is there anyone alive that hasn't heard Iron Man by Black Sabbath?
Yeah, I don't know. I bet my kids wouldn't know what it is.
You've heard it, Jeff, right?
It sounds like a kid's song. It sounds like a nursery rhyme or something.
A little bit, like Iron Man.
Oh, yeah.
Hi, welcome to the Chick McGee Show. I'm Chick McGee. That's Jason Hofsetz. That's Jeff Fibbert. And our guest today, truly a Bob and Tom legend, the one, the only, Mr. Henry Phillips is here.
Thanks. That's really cool to hear.
You are.
I feel like I came on a little late in the game. I think 99 or 2000 was the first time.
I was going to say, yeah, we'd heard people talking about you forever.
But you guys had been playing my stuff prior
and
to that.
We played, which we're going to get you to play today, whether you know it or not. I'm Just Driving.
Yeah. Driving. Sure. I could do that.
Driving song, and that's how we. We started to investigate. We heard people talking about Henry, and we started to investigate a little bit. And Dr. Demento was playing your song called "Driving," and the rest is comedy history on our show.
Yeah, Dr. Demento's my first.
So did
big
you
supporter?
Did you talk to Dr. Demento, or how did he get the record? Or
two people had sent him a cassette tape that I put out.
Really,
I made a cassette tape and. Two separate people said, "I got to get this to Demento," because they knew him. And they sent it to him, and he played it. I still have the recording of the show when he played it. Oh, man, I was so excited.
No way.
That was Henry Phillips, a new guy from Los Angeles. Yes.
And if you're not familiar with Dr. DeVito, he talks a little like this. Yeah.
And that was a big deal for me because not only, I mean, I was a huge fan. It's just that thing where you go from being a fan to being one of the people hearing yourself back on it. And I was just like, whoa, this is so cool. And so we became friends. Like we'd go, he's a big beer drinker. He loves beer.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So we would go hang out and day drink beer and listen to records and stuff. And I would try to turn him on to new stuff. I turned him on to several things that he wound up playing on his show.
No kidding.
And really more, the more weird stuff, you know, he would play a lot of, one hit wonder isn't the word, but like people that would just have one comedy song in them. Like they probably had a career doing something else or whatever, but they'd have one fantastic comedy song, you know? And he would play a lot of that stuff and he'd be very accepting about it. I sent him a thing that my friend made called Ich mach die Farzen. And it was like some weird German song.
Uh-huh.
That was about farting, and it had a bunch of farting, and Demento loved it. And I don't blame him. It was really good, and he played it on his show.
When I was a kid, there was a morning radio show on WNCI in Columbus. It was called the Morning Paper, I think, or the Morning News or the Morning Paper. Anyway, a guy named E. Carl hosted it, and later Michael Malley after Carl left. And they played the hell out of a Dr. Demento song called Shaving Cream.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember that song?
That was big.
Instead of saying shit, they would end up saying, and she stuck her hand in a big pile of shaving cream. Makes you feel clean. Yeah, da, da, da,
yeah.
Da, da. Yeah, it was.
It was like very racy for its time.
Yeah, it really
I
was.
I love that song.
Yeah, well,
that
was just.
Who sang it?
I don't know.
It's a very old guy. As a matter of fact, I remember in 95, I think I did a, or 96 or something like that, I did a Dr. Demento show, and that guy who wrote it performed it.
No way!
And he looked like he was about 80. Yeah.
But you don't remember his name?
Well, no, but if you put Shaving Cream.
Yeah, you're going to find the artist. Yeah.
There's a lot of Shaving Cream
shaving
songs.
Shaving Cream songs.
There's a lot of Shaving Cream songs? Well, there's only one.
I'm not kidding you.
You're being difficult. Ton.
Green Chili Go-Go Dust did a version.
No.
Eric Traplin.
It's probably
Blue
a lot of
Fleece,
people covering it.
Loons?
You know,
maybe
when
put
you,
original.
When you were when you were talking about Shaving Cream being racy, I was telling somebody the other day that I plainly remember I played. It was just I think Kodachrome by Paul Simon came out in 72 or 73, and I got into radio in 76. And I remember we had to play the edit because you couldn't play crap. Crap I learned in high school, it was beeped out of the record. They wouldn't
That's
let you
amazing.
Say crap on the radio.
That's amazing.
So Shaving Cream was like, oh, my God.
Oh, I know. Yeah, I know. Just like you're dancing around it.
Yeah, and you're making us say it in our brains, but we can't say it out loud.
There
That's
you
it.
Go.
This is
I
it.
I have a sad story to tell you.
Oh, this is Dr. Demento, it sounds like.
That's him singing it.
Oh, yeah. That's him singing it.
Last night I went into my bathroom.
Is it not him?
And I stepped in a big pile of shaving cream.
Be nice and clean.
Shave every day.
That's a version with Demento singing it.
Yeah, that's
it. It might be a duet.
If you missed the rhyme there,
let's
it was.
Try this one here.
They rhymed. That's it.
Oh, that's good.
That's it again.
I have
that's
a sad
it. That's
story
him.
To tell you.
He has a sad story to tell.
Oh, okay.
It may hurt your feelings a bit.
A bit.
Last night when I walked into my bathroom.
Bathroom.
I stepped in a big pile of shaving cream.
Don't keep it going. Now they're going to rhyme.
Cream,
they're going to rhyme. They're not going to say shit again. Hang on.
Who would have known that one day you could say shit?
I think I'll break off with my girlfriend. Her antics are queer, I'll admit.
Oh, queer.
Each time I say, darling, I
love you.
You. She tells me that I'm full of shame.
That's amazing.
Oh, my gosh, it's so innocent.
And who's the artist? Did we find out who the artist is?
I still can't find
it. It's so innocent.
I should know this. I'm
it says, just goofing around with the song off the Looney Tunes album from my youth.
I'm ashamed that I don't know.
I'm ashamed.
Me too.
Yeah. That's great. I'd never heard of that.
Oh, really?
No,
no, that was the Dr. Demento.
I'm sure that you know because you did the interviews with him, but I mean, he is an encyclopedia.
Oh, I bet. Yeah.
He could tell you everything, and not just comedy music. He could tell you
was
who the original band members were of any obscure band and what the.
Did Weird Al kind of get his start?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Weird Al he owes all of it to Dr. Yeah. Demento.
Okay.
And he's very good about thanking him.
Sure.
Shaving cream was originally done by Benny Bell.
There you go. Yeah.
Wasn't on my list.
And
had to go to YouTube.
Wasn't on Spotify?
No, I couldn't find it. Well, I mean, I'd say there was a bunch of shaving cream songs.
Oh, you were on Spotify. Yeah, Google, I think, is the way to go.
Well, when I'm looking for songs, Henry, I go to Spotify.
Well, yeah, that's just not all.
I don't know how that happened. Yeah, Spotify.
No, I went to YouTube. Is where I go.
Oh, I see.
I think I break off with my girlfriend. Her antics are queer, I'll admit.
Oh, there it was. Oh, okay. Benny Bell.
Our baby. The next verse is: our baby fell out of the window. You'd think that her head would be split.
Wow.
But graphic. Good luck was with her that morning. She fell in a barrel of. Shaving cream. Oh, here we go. An old lady died in a bathtub. She died from a terrible fit. In order to fulfill her wishes, she was buried in 6 feet of shaving cream.
Be nice and clean.
When I was in France with the army, one day I looked into my kit. I thought I would find me a sandwich, but the darn thing was loaded with shaving. And then one more. And now, folks, my story has ended. I think it's time that I should quit.
Quit.
If any of you feel offended, stick your head in a barrel of shame.
Here's the thing. On Spotify, there's the best of Benny Bell. Okay. It's got to be him.
It doesn't have shaving cream.
Does not have shaving
cream.
Can I
see a picture of him?
Yeah.
Oh, it's is.
Well, you know what? That's another thing that I learned from Demento is that, like for example, there's a song that he plays. Don't sit on the plexiglass toilet. The artist literally is Styx. And it's like
Styx?
Yeah. It was a hidden track on one of their really early albums, and it's a flat out comedy song.
Really?
But yeah, that's the thing, is a lot of these people had other careers, but they would just have one comedy song that they would do.
Huh.
There's probably a whole show on that.
Oh, sure. So I don't know. I don't remember who talked. I think Dr. Demento got a hold of us and said, you guys need to have this guy. And you were friends with
– I thought you guys were interviewing him. You had him in for an interview.
Oh, that's right. He was in the studio. You're exactly right.
Who have you been playing lately? And then he
mentioned you.
You guys were playing the
– that's exactly right.
The drive-in song and I guess Talking Again.
Okay.
Was the big
thing. You and Christy used to do Talking Again when you'd go out with
her. I was going to do that this morning. I forgot. Yeah. But
well, she'll talk on Monday. See what I did there?
We'll just send the recording.
No, Henry came in, and we kind of had this big influx of younger, newer, great guys. You know, Greg Warren. You know, where Bigley was in there. You know, there's just a ton of – what was it, 04 when we did the Comedy Central special?
Oh, yeah. That was good.
Which I was not on.
You were not on that?
No.
You didn't do that?
Oh, might have been the guitar, Henry.
No, because you did have guitar guys on
there. You had Tim Wilson.
Yeah.
Maybe you were.
No,
you were a little later.
There was something political there, and I don't remember what it was. It wasn't with you guys. It had to do with the company that was producing Levity or something.
But maybe you were out making a TV show. Maybe that's what you
Well,
were.
I had done a half-hour special on Comedy Central, so maybe there was a feeling
of
like... I didn't
know you'd done a half-hour special on Comedy Central.
Maybe they were like, well, this guy's already done one.
Yeah, it might have been a bunch of guys
that didn't make sense
either,
because Birbiglia had done one. So it's like there's just no way around it.
It was 03 or 04.
Thanks for bringing it up, guys.
Man, I really should have brought that. I'll be cutting this out.
Yeah, I think
if you're hearing this, you're sorry.
You're hearing this. This is the hidden track. And
but wasn't it like in two parts or something like that?
They did it like all one night, and they cut it up.
Cut it up,
pieces.
Yeah. I remember that.
No one watched it. It really was no big deal.
How do you tell? You never know.
Well, they put it on in the middle of the night, I remember, a couple times.
Yeah, they love doing that. 3 in the morning.
3, 4 in the morning.
In between the sex ads.
You have a new movie coming out, don't
I
you?
I do.
He
yeah.
said, desperately looking for something.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. It's called Punching Henry. It's a sequel to Punching the Clown.
Now, tell us about Punching the Clown. How did that happen?
That happened because a friend of mine from college.
It's your life story, basically,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. I was a political science major back in college way years ago. And then.
Where in college? Where did
you go
to college?
That was at UCLA.
I didn't know you went to UCLA.
Yeah, and my buddy who used to sit next to me a lot became a filmmaker, and I became a comedian, and then we wound up keeping touch, and I would always tell him these stories, you know, stuff like kind of like the radio thing that happens right. in the beginning of the movie, you know, and he would just be like, man, we got to make a movie about this thing. And we tried for years and years, and then finally the technology became more accessible, and he just basically took out his life savings and just said, let's make this movie for like $100,000. And we made a movie. And that was really critically acclaimed.
And when was that?
That was in 2008. Okay. We shot it, and then it didn't come out till like 2009 or 2010 on Netflix. And then,
is it still on Netflix?
Not anymore. No, you have to go to Amazon. That's the only place you can see it. But so this new one is basically, because of all the friends and fans that we made from the first movie, mm-hmm. we were able to make a second one through a studio that paid for it, and we had to get some bigger names in there. And the big anchor guy would have been J.K. Simmons. He was once he signed
Academy
on
Award
it,
yeah, winning actor J.K. Simmons.
Once he came on board, then it all kind of fell together. It was like, all right, we're going to make this thing.
What does he does he play in Punching Henry?
He plays a TV producer who hears about what a loser I am and thinks, man, we got to make a TV show about this guy.
Nobody's going to believe this. We need to put it on TV.
Yeah, exactly. And it all goes downhill for me from there. And I have a whole road sequence where I have a bunch of bad gigs on the road, and then they're trying to make this video go viral and kind of trying to manufacture it, and it doesn't work. And eventually I find out, you know, what's important about life, and that's
we all learned a
little
not
something. Doing comedy. Yeah.
So the first one was autobiographical. This one.
Well, this one is too. Yeah.
It has some of that.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. So who's all in the first one?
I mean, it's as autobiographical as the first one.
Sure. Okay, cool.
Like, I wasn't in real life having a newspaper say that I was a Nazi, but it's all, I mean, obviously you have a plot that sort of carries it, but then that's always going to be a little bit more sensationalized. But, what was I going to say? Oh yeah. So I think probably most movies, whatever scenes you're watching, probably are based on something that really happened to a person. Mm-hmm. Right.
Right.
I can only imagine. But in this case, yeah, I'm playing myself. My name's Henry Phillips in the thing. So it is pretty autobiographical, but it's not supposed to be like a biography. It's supposed to be just more – kind of like Larry David. Like, that's okay. A great example.
Sure.
Like,
well, that was going to be my next question. Yeah. Because there was a time you were going to have a series on HBO, right?
Yeah.
And called Punching the Clown. What happened to that?
Well, we made a movie about that.
Oh, okay.
That awful experience.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
That's pretty much it. Yeah. So all that TV stuff
I didn't know that.
Is based on that. Yeah. Yeah. We had a deal with the Showtime Network. And yeah, it was humiliating. We're sitting around, everybody's talking about, like, you know, this, like, the pitch meeting, this guy, he's like such a loser. He's like a loser's loser, or like a loser who could make a loser feel like a hero.
And you're sitting right there.
And I'm like, yeah, guys, I'm right here. yeah. So that was kind of a lot of what we're making fun of. And also just this over-reliance on social media that people have now, you know?
Yeah.
It's like people look at Twitter and they go, oh, that's 500,000 followers. That person must be worth millions of dollars. It's like,
yeah, right.
It means absolutely nothing. I mean, you can, for one thing, you can cheat those numbers very easily on all of them. I always get these emails from IMDb saying, hey, we're a service that gets your IMDb rating score up. And I'm like, Well, if you can do that, then why would anybody pay attention to those numbers?
IMDb, right. Like, yeah.
Then you just discredit the whole thing.
Right.
Sure. But so we poke a lot of fun at that. And then I also have a subplot with my friend that I'm staying with. I stay on her couch, Tig Notaro.
Oh.
And so she's my friend in the movie. And
so does Tig play Tig? Or
she characters? No, she plays Jillian, my friend. But yeah, she could have been Tig. But then it would have been really confusing for people, I think. Like, it's like, well, that really is Tig. So,
what do you call her in the movie?
Jill.
Her name's Jillian. Yeah.
Okay.
Jillian.
And, and her roommate. And, yeah, and Jim Jefferies is in there, just plays a comic buddy that I run into at the clubs a lot. And,
I'm trying to remember the first movie. Wasn't there like a bunch of people in there that we all know?
Surprisingly, not a lot. I mean, there was the bigger comic names. Well, Nikki Glaser had
Nikki,
and she's in this one also.
Doesn't she get mad at you or in the first one, Nikki?
Yeah. She blows me off at a party, and that's pretty fun. And then I don't know if you guys know Chris Fairbanks is in that one.
Name's familiar.
Eddie Pepitone.
Yeah. Great.
Ryan Stout, there's a few, but they're kind of scattered throughout. But most of the big players in the first movie are Second City guys or friends of mine from the acting world. Mm-hmm. You know, my friend Matt Walker, who was my roommate, who plays my brother in the movie. And we used to be roommates, and he would dress as Batman and go to birthday parties. And so he'd walk around as Batman and just be pissed off all the time. It's like, who left the door open? We're not paying to heat the outside, you know?
And
it's
as Batman.
yeah. Batman is really into this heating thing.
Who left this door open?
Yeah, exactly. We're not paying to eat. We're not paying to heat the outside.
Okay, who else is in the second one? Tig?
Tig goes on for a while, Mike Judge has a cameo as a sound guy.
Does he?
Yeah, because he and I are always...
You guys are hanging out with Henry's Kitchen, right?
Well, he also did the coffee video. He was a fan of the first movie.
Are you and your fucking coffee or something? Is that
it? Yeah. And he's in episode one of that. But every now and then I'll go out and have a beer with him. He's a great down-to-earth guy. He likes to talk about music and stuff. And we were talking about sound guys and how just like there's so many shitty dudes out there in clubs. That just this is their domain, you know. It's like, and
they're the best at being shitty. Right?
Like, here's an example. Like, this is a true story. I was at the Comedy Store in L.A. and I was, you know, Chris Porter, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
you just heard last
He and I were playing in this band, and he was fronting it, and he's a great singer and everything. It was a bunch of comics, and we're having a great time. Somebody hooks us up with the keyboardist for Depeche Mode. They were in town, and they had just played at the Jimmy Kimmel Live concert series for like thousands of people at Hollywood and Highland, and this guy is a nice, polite, British, bespectacled guy who agrees that he's going to come jam with us and play keyboards for our little cover band that we were doing at the Comedy Store. So we go over there for a sound check. At one point, Chris asked the guy from Depeche Mode, I can't remember his name, but he's like, can you go in the audience and just see what it sounds like? And he goes, sure. And he's listening. And Chris is like, what do you think? And he kind of says to the sound guy, he's like, I wonder if it's possible if we could just take that range from like, you know, 2,000 kilohertz and just increase it a little bit. I think we'll get a little bit more grunge out of the guitars. Is there a way we could do that? And there's just like this beat of silence. And then all of a sudden we hear this voice from up in the sound booth. Listen, buddy, I've been doing this room for 30 years. I know what the fuck it sounds like. Oh. You have one job, and that's to go up and play your music and do your dog and pony show. I'm the guy who makes it sound good, all right? And this guy is just like, oh, okay, all right, that sounds good. And I can't help but think that guy's going to go back to Britain and be like, I think Americans might be assholes.
Yeah.
It's like because of that one experience. But it's like, are you kidding me, man? You just shut down the guy from Depeche Mode who just played in front of thousands of people who was just trying to politely help us out. Anyway, so we were kind of like laughing at that type of guy. And so Mike Judge plays a sound guy. at one of the gigs that I do, and he's just like, he can't be bothered. Yeah, he's just like, I show up like hours before the show, and I just, all I need is a place to plug in, and he's like, yeah, we don't have that. And it's like, well, don't musicians come here all the time? Yeah, but they bring their own amps and stuff, and all right, well, we got to figure something out. I need the guitar. And he's like, well, you know, we only have 2 hours. It's like, well, we can't figure it out. But anyway, so I'm trying to think of some other people. Michaela Watkins, who was on SNL, and now she's on a show called Casual. People recognize her. Yeah, let's see. We've got...
sounds like a major motion picture.
Yeah. It's fun. Cool. It looks good. It's well shot and everything. Yeah. And I think there's a lot of funny stuff. I'm the weakest link. I'm the worst
part of
the
movie. Well, you're
the loser. Yeah.
Yeah.
You've never hit me as like a loser. You've just hit me as a really nice guy. So does that maybe... Does that say more about Hollywood or what they do to nice people? Or you got to be an asshole to succeed?
I don't know. I mean, I don't think Hollywood but all this is stuff very keeps, good to nice people.
Yeah, this stuff keeps happening to you, right? I mean, like the scene with the radio guy. Yeah. And the
there seems to be a consistent problem that I have with – well, and also like every time it's the really important show, the one that's going to make or break you.
The showcase. And
there's like a technical glitch or something goes wrong or there's a heckler and it's just like ruins the whole thing. But yeah, no. I've always found failure to be hilarious. I just think it's the funniest thing ever. And I was always such a big fan of Albert Brooks – or Bob Newhart, or those kind of like guys that are just like when we watch them, we're just like, well, that's kind of what everybody would do, but all the people around them are just so crazy. They just kind of make everything,
right?
You know, difficult. You know, like True Romance. God, I love that movie from Albert Brooks. It's hilarious. Like, there's a scene where he's sitting there listening to George Kennedy, I think, is the actor, and he's just telling this really long story.
Right,
and he keeps looking over, and his girlfriend's coming in and out of the bathroom with a bunch of different dudes, like doing coke and stuff. Right. And he's listening to George Kennedy tell this. So there I am, and this guy, he's like,
"Are you listening to me?"
Okay, yeah. No, but it's like that kind of stuff is just fantastic. But so that's definitely the inspiration, but. It's exciting, so I think we'll see.
Do you have a real life, a true life, one of your favorite you bombed stories, or the audience of just being cocksuckers, or I mean, they just weren't paying attention to you?
Yeah, the absolute worst of all the worst was in L.A. actually, which is all ironic too, because you picture like I've done shows in like the deep backwoods in Texas, like a place called Lake Jackson, Texas, where you walk in and you go, oh boy, like the kind of you would think like the Blues Brothers sort of like chicken wire kind
of
thing.
Right.
And those gigs go fine. But then there I am in Los Angeles, you know, and I'm doing some show. Some guy, because nobody cares. It feels like people don't care enough. You know, it's like they're not appreciating enough. It's like, okay, big deal. You play guitar and you sing and whatever. Who cares? Whereas if you go to a place that's a small town, they're like, oh, this is cool. This guy came all the way over here, you know.
To perform in front of us.
It's not always that way, but it seems to tend to be that way. So when I was at some club, and this guy's idea was he was going to bus in all these USC students from and they didn't forget about the fact that I'm a UCLA guy. We didn't tell them that, but so he's got all these people and they're going to watch the game. The owner of the club, the bar, was British, and he didn't care about football. He didn't even know how it worked exactly. All he wanted to do was have them there so that they could drink, and he was extremely conscious of not wanting to have any dead space between the game and the show because he felt like they were going to get restless. So he wanted me to go on right after. Well, he kind of overcompensated. So they're all watching the game. They're about to clinch like the whole season. And this guy all of a sudden says, okay, they already know who won. We're going to have you just go on there now. I'm like, well, the game's not technically over. It's like, yeah, we know they're going to win, but they want to watch the rest of the thing. It's like, no. They already know who won. He literally shuts off the game and says, everybody, give it up for your comedian, Henry Phillips.
Oh, no.
And then I walk out there, and then this is in my early days where I didn't even really have any jokes that I'd start with. I would just start doing the song and trying to sucker people into listening and then thinking, oh, this guy's a real folk singer. And then a minute and a half you go like, oh, I get it. This is all a joke.
Right.
Well, there was no time to be doing this. But, so I go out there and I think at the time I was doing this fake like church kind of song where I was like, all God's creatures got a place in the choir. Some sing low, some sing higher, some sing out loud from the telephone wire. Some just clap their hands or paws or anything they got now. And I'm out there doing this with the acoustic guitar. And people, at first, people were just stunned and quiet. Like, they were just like,
what the fuck?
What happened to our game? And who the fuck is this? And then they started slowly turning violent. And somebody picks up a chair and throws it at the stage.
No.
Yeah. God. Not meant to hit me, but there was a...
Just to get your attention.
There was a drum set behind me that was for a band that was going to play later. And it just... The chair crashed through the drum set. And then the band was there. And then it all... It turned into Patrick Swayze at that point. Like, it was... The sound guy became the impromptu bouncer... And started fighting people. They were throwing chairs. They were just like, fuck this. You turned off the game. He was like,
oh my God.
And I stayed up there for about a minute and a half. And of course, this is the one where I have some new manager that was coming out to check me out. And
of then course.
I think there was somebody from like the local, like the LA Weekly that was trying to do an article or something. I'm just like, why? Why is it always these times that this stuff happens?
Oh my God.
And so... I stayed up there as long as I could, and then I started getting worried that I was going to get hit by a chair, and so I got off. And, I don't know what this guy thought. You know, it's like, I'm going to get a bunch of college students, get them extremely liquored up, and then
watching
stop
a
the
game
and
stop
send up
that.
A guy to do a Christian song, you know. No. And so
– it is almost like in his mind, he was, I'm going to fuck Henry Phillips over.
Oh,
I mean,
I know.
That's the only conclusion
you can
draw. It
feels that way,
yeah.
And sure enough, I was supposed to get $100, and I really needed that $100. And I did. I got there at 6 p.m., and I did a sound check. I stayed there. It's not my fault that he fucked up and people were throwing chairs at the audience.
Right.
Needless to say, he didn't pay me. And he's like, no, gosh. You had him in the palm of your hand. Oh, yeah?
I did, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
No, it was just awful. What a nightmare. But that's definitely number one in terms of the worst gigs that I ever
had. Man, oh, man.
Yeah.
All right. We'll be back with more. Henry, he's going to get the guitar. And
we'll do a little bit of the old stuff.
Have a hoot, Danny.
Going to rock out.
Maybe we'll play some John Mayer.
Oh, please.
There you go. This is the Chick McGee Show on Podcast One.
Said, Andy, you're better than your past. Winked at me and drained the glass.
I've never really.
It's good stuff.
Yeah, I haven't really checked him out yet.
Chick was talking about him earlier.
Thanks, sound guy, for turning me on in the
middle
of that.
I made it. I like to make it awkward.
Oh, Chick, I have a guy I need you to listen to. This is Jason Isbell. That's who we're talking about.
It's good stuff.
Oh, this is a this is a sad song. She's really sick and.
Yeah, sound. I haven't listened to a lyric, but it sounds depressing.
Hi, welcome to the second part of the Chick McGee Show with Henry Phillips.
Hello.
He's got a guitar.
Henlips.
Yes.
For me, I think he plays better than this. What do you think about that?
Well,
cover me up.
Oh, this is the best one, I think, of his.
I could give him a
24 Frames is, I think, the best song. This is how you make yourself
worthy of the love that she gave. This is my favorite song to request when I go to a strip club.
How often do you go to strip clubs?
It's been a while.
I've never been to a strip club.
Well, the funny
strip club comes to you, right?
Yeah.
One time I went to one in Newport, Kentucky, and what was so great about it is that the girls would say that they need, I don't know if it was a scam or whatever, they're like, they have to pay for their own songs, so can you tip, and that way they can afford their jukebox songs. Yeah, it's a scandal. I go, okay, I'll play the songs, but you got to let me decide what song it is. And that adds a whole different level of entertainment. I'd put on some, you know, weird songs. You know, it's like, or like that. What was that? Phil Collins. I can't dance.
I can't. Oh, that was Genesis.
Trying
that
to was dance. The, yeah. Oh, was that Genesis or
that's
Phil Collins?
That's a subtle distinction, but yes, it's there. It is. Yeah, is this Genesis? Yeah. Genesis. I think it's from an album called Van Can't Dance or some weird thing.
And you know, a stripper probably hasn't heard this song before.
Yeah.
Right? And they don't know it's coming.
Yeah, yeah.
She's tripping around on her heels.
Yeah, yeah.
And not his best singing voice either.
No,
just walking around.
I think they ended the whole policy after I said that.
See, like, that.
Let's make it so that the customers can't pick
this. Was this one of the strip clubs on the levee in Newport, Kentucky?
What's that?
Was it like on the levee or where was it?
Well, it's been a long time. I don't know exactly where I was. It was downtown.
Okay.
Yeah.
The only time I've tried to go to a strip club was in Newport, Kentucky.
Oh, that's hilarious.
On a Monday. And the lady was like, you know what? You guys might as well just leave. And
yeah.
I was like, okay, bye.
They told you that?
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
There was one dude in there wearing black sweatpants and a black hoodie, and the hood was pulled up, and he was hunched over at his table.
Oh,
no
boy.
Girls dancing.
Oh, my God.
You guys might as well just leave.
That poor guy.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you don't really get the best of the best on the Monday morning shift.
No, yeah. Yeah.
I think the last time, other than a forced bachelor party that was forced bachelor party, I didn't want to participate, but they thought it was a great idea. I went over to the strip club here. Before that, I think the last strip club I was in was a place called Sensation Station.
Ooh, it's a station.
Right in, I don't think it's Hilliard. It might be, though, now that I'm thinking about it. It's right outside of Columbus, Ohio, and no alcohol. They're called Coke Clubs. And they're like $6 for a Coke. And
oh,
then
yeah.
You tip
that's
the girls.
That's what we have in L.A.
And, you know, oh, is it?
That was probably our policy that we exported to everybody else.
Might have been. Yeah.
You think if you'd make the Cokes reasonable, they would stay longer and give more money to the girls.
It's like, do I have to drink the Coke? Why don't I just give you the $6?
Yeah, just here's the $6. Yeah.
I mean, I like a Coke, but I don't like paying $6 for a Coke.
Oh, and yeah, I think the song was Rock and Roll Fantasy by Bad Company.
Yeah.
Here come the dancers. Woo-hoo-hoo!
That one. And here comes the – and the girls started dancing around. Yeah.
Well, the first time I ever went, I think I was probably about 19, and a buddy of mine was like, hey, man, we should go to the nudes. Like when you land at LAX, everybody would drive by this place, nudes.
What's there?
I think even the Naked Gun like made fun of it or something. Mm. But so I was like, okay. And so I go there and the stripper asked me my name and I said, Henry. She goes, I have a song for you. It's called Dance With Me, Henry. And I'm gonna dance specifically to that song for you.
Wow.
So she does it. And then the next night, another buddy called me up, a friend of mine from high school. He's like, hey, man, have you ever been to nudes? And I was kind of embarrassed. So I just said, nah, man, I don't go to those types of trashy places. He's like, well, shit, man, I always wanted to go. Would you go with me? And I'm like, yeah, why not? So we show up there. And as soon as we walk in, that stripper is there. She just saw me two nights ago. And she goes, Henry. I'm like, ah, come on. My buddy's like, oh, I don't go to those trashy places. Oh, they know your freaking name here, man. I was like, well, I can explain.
I can explain the whole thing. No, so I've never really been a strip club guy. I know when I went to Peoria for a couple times for the comedy tour, there was a place there called Big Al. And I found out that Big Al has since passed away.
Ah. Oh.
And I went there, but the same thing kind of happens.
Smile on his face?
Yeah.
The girls, oh, that's Chick McGee over there. And then they start, the whole facade is torn away, and they're just,
it's awful.
These problems, like, yeah, my boyfriend and my girlfriend, they're just a pain in the ass right now, you know, and they're, can you lend me, you know, X number of dollars so I can get my degree, Illinois State?
God,
I'm like, what?
Awful.
What happened? You're not even trying.
Yeah, exactly.
Come on.
Yeah, it's like, now I'm sad.
Well, Henry, can you play the song that turned us on to Henry Phillips?
Hold on, Henry. Here's what I'll do.
It's just called Driving, right?
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds good. No? Yes? Maybe?
Well.
Hey, a little mic her up, baby. All right. Now, Jason is one of these sound guys that's going to make you sound good, okay?
Amazing!
Now, cool. I might screw up the lyrics, but...
Oh, no, that's good. Incredible. You can't. It's wonderful just to hear this part.
I stopped doing the song live.
Why?
Because
sexual assault? Is that...
Well, yeah, and the least of it. Yeah, but here we go.
Now, don't change any of the numbers.
Okay.
Just straight ahead.
Okay, here we go. Okay. I ain't going to a friend's house.
Sorry, it's fine.
And I ain't going to my place of work. And I ain't going to a baseball game or a picture show. I'm just driving in my car. And even though it looks like things ain't going my way, I didn't get promoted. My wife, she done left me. And I just got evicted. And I think I'm going bald now. And now all I got is a bottle of booze and this here Thunderbird. And I'll be damned if it's insured. And I ain't looking at the stop signs. And I ain't looking at the traffic lights. And I'm not looking at the children on the crosswalk. I'm just driving in my car. And I'm just sipping on my whiskey. And I'm just sucking down some Valium. And I'm not worried about side effects from the Prozac. I'm just driving in my car. How do you do hitchhiking, mama? Get in the car and take a ride with me. She says, get your damn hands off of me. I said, don't worry, ma'am. I'm a friend, you see, and we're just driving in my car. And now the two of us are tearing up the highway with no registration. I ain't got no headlights.
Or
can't see a damn thing. And what the hell was that now? Well, I hope it wasn't human. And now I'm getting heat from this girl that I just picked up off the road. She's only 15 years old. She's only 15 years old. How do you do, Mr. Policeman? How's life treating you on the streets today? He says, pull over, son, walk a straight line. I say, no, thank you, sir, I'm doing fine. I'm just driving in my car. What's them red lights behind me flashing? What's that there chopper up above? A sign says something about a checkpoint at the county line. I said, thank you, folks, I'm doing fine. I'm just driving in my car. I'm just driving in my car. She's only 15 years old. And I'm just driving in my car. Yeah, you're right. That is one of the very first ones.
Is that you think that's the first song you wrote, or you know for sure which one?
The first one ever was What Do You Want Me to Do About It? That's the one that started it all. That's a very long song.
I remember that one.
So here it goes.
Can you do it? No, can you
do
it?
A little bit of it.
Please,
sure,
please,
yeah.
Please.
Just for the history of it, I mean, this is the song that I used to
But what do you
play.
Want me to
I used
do
to
about
crack
it?
My buddy up doing this song. And he was like, man, you got to go out to like open mic nights and start doing this song. And I did, and that's where the whole thing started.
But you were a serious songwriter initially. Did you think more about being a serious songwriter?
Yeah, at the time I wanted to be a musician.
Or a comedian, yeah.
And then I was like, well, this might be my way in, you know. I could start doing silly songs, and then that way I'm still doing the music. And it's, you know, and I am. All right, here we go. I know it's getting late at night, and I know you're tired. And I know that right now all the headlines and shit have got you down. But what do you want me to do about it? And I know that we're generating higher trade deficits. And I know that unemployment rates are on the rise. And I know that General Motors just shed 14% of its automotive components operations to accelerate the overhaul of unprofitable North American expenditures, resulting in a loss of nearly 14,000 American jobs. But what do you want me to do about it? And I know there's a hole in the ozone layer. And I know that atmospheric temperatures are changing. And I know that most environmental scientists agree that increased carbon dioxide levels caused by the excessive burning of fossil fuels could cause the glaciers to melt and the sea levels to rise, thus rendering mankind destined to extinction and the vast death of the entire fucking solar system. But what do you want me to do about it? In Spanish.
Yo, hey.
Yo sé que el mundo es loco. Yo sé que hay muchos problemas. Yo sé que las violaciones de los derechos de los inmigrantes ilegales por la policía americana por los ciudadanos de México tienen. Pero, ¿qué quieres que yo haga eso? In French. Je sais que le monde est absurde. Et je sais qu'il y a beaucoup de problèmes. Et je sais que France va me dire en ce grand cri de la SM qui a pris le problème sur le socialisme et qu'elle est ainsi que le problème et que je ne peux pas parler français très bien. Merci beaucoup, monsieur. Mais qu'est-ce que tu veux que j'y fasse? So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to go through every language that there is.
Oh, okay.
So you got plenty of tape on there, right?
Okay. Oh, yeah. We're tape. All. We got it, yeah. Man.
There's a lot of dated things happening in this couple of minutes of the podcast. All right. This is the last one. This is hip-hop.
Oh.
We used to call it Ebonics, but it's hip-hop now. I know that all these punk-ass bitches be tripping and shit. And I know that shorties ain't be pulling no paper on the track, yo. Got that from The Wire, actually.
Yeah. All that paper.
And I know that every time you roll up on your fat whip, spitting game of trick ass hoes, 5-0 be bugging while the man be pushing rock into the hood, keeping the brother man down, motherfucker. But why you been all up in my shit, motherfucker? But what do you want me to do about it? That was it. That was my comedy song.
Henry.
I'd go to like coffee houses and people would eat it up. And then, I was like, well, what other songs can I just start throwing together? And the Drive-In was one of the first ones. And, and then that, that started a whole thing. Actually, it's pretty funny because I remember being at, I was at home. I was really depressed, and I was flipping through. I didn't have anything going on. I just was about to graduate from college. I was
mom and dad's house or your place?
I think I was still living at my folks' place at that point. And I just remember watching TV, and I remember seeing what was the guy? Tom Snyder, remember that?
Oh, sure, tomorrow.
And he was interviewing Dennis DeYoung from Styx. And I was always a huge fan.
Yeah.
And he said he was going to be at the Cinegrill that night. And I was like, and I had a song that I used to try to shop around that was like a pop song. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to get off my ass. I'm going to go down there to Dennis DeYoung's show. It's at this little club in L.A. And I'm just going to see if I can talk to him afterward. And maybe I'll give him that tape of that song. And who knows? Just try something. Throw my hat in the ring. Whatever.
You know what you did know, though? It wasn't going to get done sitting there.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Right. The answer was already no.
Don't leave the house. Yeah. I mean, looking back, it was a stupid idea. Surprise. So anyway, I show up to this bar called the Cinegrill. The Dennis DeYoung episode had been taped like 3 years prior, and Dennis DeYoung was nowhere to be found.
What?
But
in all of my wildest scenarios, I didn't think that it would turn up that bad.
It was
turn
ridiculous.
Out that bad. God.
But here's what happened. I was sitting in the back at the bar, and I was talking to the bartender, who is a beautiful French-Canadian chick who would later become my girlfriend, but that's a whole different story.
Nice.
Attaboy.
But we're sitting there chatting, and I was telling her I was a musician, and, you know, I was probably about 20, I guess, or I don't know. Mm-hmm. No, I must have been old enough to go to bars, although 21. I did have a fake ID. Who knows?
Nice.
Are the cops listening right now?
Well, you were finishing college.
Yeah.
So you had to be at least 22.
Yeah. Well, I graduated when I was 17 from high school.
Oh, okay.
But, I'd say this is about 92, I guess. And so anyway, all of a sudden the guy on stage on the piano was doing an amazing show. His name was Mark Nadler. And for whatever reason, at the end of the show, he was like, that's it. That's the show. Unless somebody wants to come up here. I mean, how often does this happen? I'm dead serious. Does anybody have anything, any song that they want to do? And Mark Nadler's show was a wild show, and he would have guests and stuff like that. But for whatever reason—
Talk about karma.
He did not end the show. He just said, does anybody have anything? And then that
Is there anybody here talking with a French-Canadian woman who wants to come up here
exactly.
that has a song for Dennis DeYoung who was here 3 years
exactly.
ago? If you'd want to come up, wow.
So that French-Canadian girl, Sylvie was her name, she's like, this guy here, he's a songwriter. Now, I had played that What Do You Want Me to Do About It song mm-hmm. on the guitar. I'd never done it on the piano, but it's three chords or whatever. So. Right. I was like, I did it. I went up on stage and I did that song that I just played for you guys. Now, this is 20 plus years ago. I have to say it just brought the whole house down. It was pretty unusual. I mean, now we're all in comedy and we've heard a lot of comedy, but it was kind of bizarre and those references were brand new. And,
what year do you think this was, Henry?
I think 92.
92. Okay.
Yeah. And it killed.
You know, in 92, probably no one even had heard of anything, comedy
true.
Like this, you know, at all.
Yeah, there wasn't really anybody. Adam Sandler, a couple years later, would start getting really big doing it.
Right.
But, yeah, he was like, can you come back every week and do that? And then I did. And I started meeting all these musicians and stuff. And then they had an open mic night, too, for music. And I started doing that. Then I started going to the Highland Grounds, which was a great coffee house in L.A., and doing that. And then eventually somebody came up to me and said, hey, I know Dr. Demento. And then I made a tape, and I gave him the tape. He played it. He played it for you guys. And
was it an actual cassette tape?
It was a cassette tape. I still have a whole boatload of them.
Really?
Yeah, it's funny. And but yeah,
I think those are kind of making a comeback. People selling cassettes after shows. I forget who I was talking to.
I've heard that. I don't believe it'll have much legs
because Jeremy Essig, another comedian, Jeremy Essig was just on yesterday, and he has a 45. When I say 45, Henry knows what I mean, but maybe and Jason.
Yeah.
But I don't think
I do. Yeah,
not that you're stupid, but it's just so.
I'm stupid right now.
It's just so dated. No, but it's a vine. It looks like a tidy. Album, but it's a vinyl 45, and he's got his band on one side and his comedy on one side.
That's really cool.
And he said people are just buying them to say, hey, look at this 45.
I know,
right?
It's very cool.
Man.
When you say that story about going up after, you know, and playing it on the piano,
yeah.
I'm thinking if that would have happened like now and it got an amazing reaction, someone would have taken video of it, okay, and that spread, and then all of a sudden you're the piano guy.
Yeah.
And you're stuck doing that song on the piano.
You know what? I was actually
had to lug a piano around the country.
Yeah. Believe it or not, I was worried about that at that time because there was – I always had in my mind that guy. Remember the guy who used to go, you're going to crack up if you didn't like shaving cream. No, but you remember the guy who used to go, you can call me James.
Oh, yeah.
Or you can call me Jay.
Ray J.
Or you can call me.
Oh, you doesn't have to call me Johnson. Oh, Vibbert. Oh,
try explaining
can
that.
Can you see if you can find that?
Yeah.
What should I look up?
You Ray J.
But he was a classic one-hit wonder, and he had this one bit, and that was all it was. He would be like, you can call me Jay.
Yeah, and it was just this incredible callback, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
He would pop up everywhere. He would be on, the Battle of the Network
commercials.
Stars. He made a Miller Lite commercial.
And throwing the javelin is... You can call me Jay.
And now, it would go like. And now, to explain this further, we go down to our expert, and there's this guy. Oh, you doesn't have to call me Ray.
Raymond Johnson Jr.
Raymond Johnson Jr.
Right, let's see what we got here.
Really? Okay.
Oh my God, I can't believe we're going this deep.
Oh, you doesn't have to call me Johnson. My name is Raymond J. Johnson Jr. Now you can call me Ray. Or you can call me Jay.
God.
Or you can call me Johnny. Or you can call me Sonny.
That's him?
Or you can call me Junior.
God, I hate that guy.
You have no idea how everywhere.
That was the biggest entertainment that we had.
What year?
Somewhere between the Cold War.
I'm going to say late 70s, 80s.
Okay. Yeah, it was right in the middle of the Cold War.
Wow.
Well, you doesn't have to call me Johnson. Yeah.
That's crazy. That was his bit. But see, anyway, he was being made fun of on The Simpsons at one point, and I was just like, That's the worst thing for me is to be to become that, that a guy who yeah. just had something that was so. So I thought mm-hmm. maybe that "What Do You Want Me to Do About It" song. I was terrified if I did it on like, you know, the Tonight Show or something. It's like, am I going to be the "What Do You Want Me to Do About It" guy? You know, it's like I'll be on the Battle of the Network Stars. We've got the "What Do You Want?" Well, what do you want me to do about it? So anyway, I was always like, man, I got to get like 10 other songs too. But it's exactly what you're saying. Like it would be like a viral thing. But
oh my gosh, Raymond J. Johnson Jr.
No way he's alive.
He's annoyed when addressed as Mr. Johnson, exclaiming in a loud voice, "My name is Raymond J. Johnson Jr. Now you can call me Ray," on and on and on. But the comedian's name is Bill Saluga, S-A-L-U-G-A, and he did commercials for Natty Light.
So his name isn't even Raymond J.
It's not even his name.
Fuck this guy. I hate him.
Norm Crosby. Discovered this guy.
Oh, Norm.
He was on the Gong Show in 1979. He was on a TV commercial for a Simon-like electronic game called Einstein. Do you know what Simon is?
The game?
Yeah. Evidently did a oh my god, yeah. He released a disco single called Dancin' Johnson.
Play it. You got to find
it. Oh my god.
Yeah, it's got to be a song that incorporates. That's the only bit he had, right?
Yeah.
It's got to be like a disco song where he goes, "You can call me Ray."
He was on the TV show The Simpsons in 1993 episode called Krusty Gets Canceled.
Oh, so they actually had – that's nice that they actually had him doing his act.
Krusty the Clown mentions that the only bad show he put on was when Johnson co-hosted, saying that thing was funny for about 3 seconds.
Yeah. That's exactly it.
Oh, that's right. Krusty's rival, Gabbo the hand puppet. Remember Gabbo? Oh, God. Good Lord. Henry, I would have never remembered any of this. Here he comes.
Is this it? Yeah, Bill Saluga.
Bill Saluga. Yeah. Oh my God. It doesn't have to call me Johnson.
Proving that everything is out there.
Yeah, it's right there on Jason's phone. Were you a big disco guy? You weren't.
Yeah, I liked it. I liked the Saturday Night Fever soundtrack. That was so pretty great.
Were you in college? I still could listen to that.
That's pretty good.
There's so many good songs.
Well, you were probably, what, in 7th or 8th grade when Saturday Night Fever came out, something like that?
No, I was younger.
Younger than that,
77,
yeah.
Right? I was 7 years old.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Okay, this is horrible. I know. Where's Bill Saluga?
All
I'm hearing is background singers.
It'd be funny if he's like, "I'm not doing the You Can Call Me Ray." It's like, then you're finished.
I refuses. You know, he would say something.
The audience is throwing rocks at you for not doing it. Oh,
that's it.
There he is.
But,
this guy is dead, right? He's dead.
Oh, I don't know. You think he's dead?
I don't know.
Jason?
I don't know.
Well, 20 years ago, he was a has-been, so I don't know.
Yeah, 20.
I hope he's not listening. If you're listening, we love your stuff.
He's crazy.
We love you. We love your stuff.
Yeah,
I don't think I ever wanted
to become like a guy who had a catchphrase or like a one-hit thing, and I felt like that song could very easily go that route. So
still alive.
Wow. No.
79.
That's it.
Youngstown, Ohio.
Wow.
He can listen to the Bob and Tom show.
He might be listening.
I love Youngstown. Damn.
Oh my God.
I take back what I said.
Yeah.
He was in a Seinfeld.
He was?
Yeah. That's what it says. Sorry.
Dude. This guy has lived the lives of 1,000 men.
Yeah, I know.
Man.
Well, he probably eventually dropped that bit. But but yeah, so
he gets mad at you if you mention it. He doesn't want to talk about it. Yeah,
but you know, actually, if you go to for people out there that are interested, if you go to YouTube, you can see me performing songs from that same year. Certainly, that same year.
What in 93,
maybe more like 94, but in the same venue for sure.
Oh, cool.
There's the first time I saw you. There's me doing that song at that place. That's
you know
on,
what?
That's on YouTube.
That is my favorite Henry Phillips song. Did you know that?
Thanks.
No, that song. Will you do that right now? That song.
I can.
Makes me laugh.
I will
every
say,
single time.
In the meantime, you should pull it up because we do have that that recording of me doing it at the Cinegrill where I started.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Go ahead and do that.
Well, show. I don't have an YouTube? Aux input.
Oh, no. Well, you don't. Do you want us to play it?
Well, I was thinking you. Yeah, I mean, actually, no, you should play it. You should play it. I think it'd be more fun to hear it with the audience that was excited back then.
What's your name again?
Just Henry Phillips. The first time I saw you, and then you'll see me. With a pink shirt and long hair.
94. I remember you had long hair forever.
Yeah.
I remember it was a big damn deal when you got your hair cut.
Here we go.
Yeah, okay, here we go.
Here we go. This is Henry in 1994.
Long hair. I remember the first time I saw you.
Oh, my gosh.
I went to your doorstep and rang the bell.
Flowing mane.
It is.
Your parents told me your dog's name was Henry.
I laughed and said,
ha. Said, well, that's my name as well. I remember your face as you came down the stairway.
Oh my God.
Your ebony hair.
Oh, come on, Henry, do it live. Okay. Do it live for us. There.
I remember your face as you came down the stairway with your ebony hair and your deep hazel eyes. The sight of your beauty, I started to quiver. And I just couldn't think of the right thing to say. And my hands started shaking, my heart palpitating. My palms started sweating, and then I ran out of breath. And then I fell on the floor, and then I started to vomit. And I lost all control of my bodily functions. And you went to the kitchen so you could get paper towels to clean up the mess I just made on your floor. But by that time, I'd already emptied my bowels. And it just didn't seem to give a damn anymore. So I took off my pants and started humping your doggy. And your parents threatened to call the police. So I yanked out their phone cord and I closed all the curtains and said, don't move or nobody leaves here alive.
And now you're in the
So here I am in this cold, lonely jail cell, thinking of you and the times that we had. And you're probably laughing about our whole misunderstanding. And I just get that same old feeling again. My hands start to shake and my heart starts to beat and my palms start to sweat, and then I run out of breath. And I fall on the floor and I start to vomit. And I lose all control of my bodily functions.
Yeah!
Yeah, that was one of the first ones.
Oh my God.
There is this sort of theme of.
you think?
Being psychopathic. But that was all like deep thoughts. That was always my favorite. Like,
oh, Jack Handy?
Yeah. I was as much as I could try to get into that guy's world. Like with, you know, it would always sound like something sweet in the beginning, and then it would turn into something really fucked up. But yeah, he was great.
Would you want to have your own show on television and like a talk show, or you want to movies, or you want to keep touring, or what do you want
to
do?
I think my goal at this point is to keep doing filmmaking. In whatever capacity, like if it's for the web or for TV, that'd be fine. I just want to tell stories and direct and act and all that kind of stuff.
You have the kitchen and you have the coffee, both of those going now?
Henry's
still?
Kitchen, yeah. No, I just put out a cookbook. I have a soundtrack album. I've been having a lot of fun.
You have a soundtrack for Henry's Kitchen?
Let's Get Suicidal. Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
It's the holiday album. And yeah, that's been a lot of fun for me. I'm starting to open it up into a Airbnb, so I have guests come. Chick, if you ever come to LA, you got to be on my Airbnb.
God.
Henry's
I would
kitchen.
Love to be on your.
Oh, it'd be great.
That would be incredible.
I've been doing that, and then I have a series called "You and Your Fucking Coffee," which is basically just true anecdotes from like in my real life when I've like
that title is beautiful.
When I go to a friend's place, like today, you know, it would be like if we were out there, you know, right. during the break,
out
you know,
the
just
kitchen.
Have offer me a water, and that's cool. But like in this series, it is what always happens if I say like, "Well, do you have any coffee?" What happens is people first get an expression on their face like, ugh. It's like they don't want to fucking make coffee, especially if they don't drink it. And then it, so in the series, it sort of sets off this chain reaction that eventually winds up ruining all the lives of everybody around them just from the coffee. And I've been having a lot of fun doing those. And I'll do a couple more this year for sure. I was talking to Greg Barrett about doing one. I think we're going to do one this year. Do you know Greg Barrett?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. He's great. And but yeah, Mike Judge is in one of them. He's in episode one, the house guest.
Mm-hmm. What was the one where you were like in a voting booth in the garage?
Yeah, that's
election
day. Was
that an early
day.
One? It's election day. Was that number two or three? Or
that's number two.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah, I remember that one.
And
I'm trying to picture Greg Barrett in my head. I know he's I recognize.
Well, not only was he does he go all the way back to like Mr. Show, he did a couple of things on there, and then but he also wound up writing a book called "He's Just Not That Into You."
Oh,
and they
that's
made it into
right.
a movie.
That's
he had right, a TV right. show. He was on Oprah for like an hour.
He was really sick recently, right?
Yeah, I think he had
some sort of cancer.
Yeah,
and I think he's in remission now.
He looks great now. Yeah, yeah. We just did a show together last week, and I want to do one with him as a rock star on stage, and then I screw up the whole mixing console with my coffee, and he's stuck up there with no lights, no sound. And yeah, we were talking about it. I think it'll be fun.
Well, the Super Bowl is coming up this Sunday. I remember being in the Bahamas with Greg
Warren.
Oh,
yeah.
And you came in the room once.
Oh, that was a good trip.
Yeah, it was a good trip. And it just was weird. Henry just goes, yeah, man, I just need to – they got Wi-Fi here, right? And he was in Greg and I's room for some reason on his computer, whatever. I think I was taking a nap or something. But anyway, Super Bowl weekend coming up. I'm guessing you're not a big football guy.
I don't even remember Greg being on that trip. Now I'm starting to.
No,
like,
that's how
did we hang out?
Jason stayed in Greg's room.
Yeah, I stayed. Yeah,
they went.
We were
a date.
We were a couple. Yeah.
I hung out a lot with Joni and her gang.
Probably.
And,
yeah, that's right.
Well, they had the pretty girls.
Well, so, yeah. No, they had a whole VIP section, and there was some guy like trying to impress them by.
Yeah,
paying like for $1,000 wine, and then I remember just going like, "How does this? How do we know this? They didn't just put a $2 wine in here, and this guy just paid $1,000."
Did that guy have his own boat or?
Yeah,
plane
you
remember,
were
or
you
something?
There with us? Yeah,
I remember hearing about it.
That was a fun trip, but yeah, no Super Bowl. I mean, I don't have a dog in the race.
Happy episode when I was there that time, or I was.
I think you were probably. Sure. It would have been 8 years ago. Right now.
That sounds about right.
I think you were doing kidding. Fine at the time.
Oh, I think that was the first trip. Yeah, she went on. That's right.
That was fun. I remember just as soon as I showed up and just being in that climate,
right?
You know, and then just like I think somebody was having a party at their house, like maybe it was Bob, and we all
at
went
his
out.
Room.
I remember going to the patio
and, Friday night.
Oh, that was a good time. Excellent.
Yeah.
Was Mike on that trip? Mike and Joe.
I can't remember if they were on 2 years prior. I went when the Colts won, and then I went when the Steelers won 2 years later. Okay. The touchdown in the corner.
Yeah,
against,
San Antonio Holmes against the Cardinals.
I call him San Antonio Holmes.
San Antonio.
Because people call him that.
When did you guys
Cardinals.
Start doing that?
Elf.
Well,
soon after.
Top secret, but there's quite the movement for us to start
go back?
Trips again.
That'd be great.
Yeah, go back.
No,
it
way.
Must have been
and
fun for the
Disney
hotel
World and stuff like that. So
it must have been fun for the hotel.
Well, we've got one of the members of the show has babies again who haven't been to Disney World. So
yeah, we need to go to Disney. We
could
that's
at least
I've
go
to.
I've never been to Disney World.
Back to Disney.
I'll do it.
I could take you on all the rides,
yes!
Jeff.
Rides scare me though.
What do you want on top of that chocolate cake we're going to have?
Jelly beans.
Damn right we are. We're going to have everything. Jelly beans and...
Well, Jeff has a big...
Stay away from the alligators.
Jeff has a big horse in the race. He's a big Patriots fan.
Oh, really?
He's lived through a lot of Super Bowls.
Lifetime
so
of Patriots.
You have a habit or some sort of...
Well,
you've done enough of them now, right?
I don't have the same routine every year. It's whatever worked that year. So this year for the playoffs, I... ordered a Marco's pizza. My one friend came over, so he had to come over every other time after that. My dog, she's there. She has
she's
a little
new.
Patriots collar on.
Okay. And a Patriots jersey.
She has a little Tom Brady jersey.
Are you a superstitious guy?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Very much so.
During commercials, we have to leap over the carpet at a certain spot and get in the hallway, and then we have to walk up and down the hallway together. And Nora loves it. She just chases us down the hallway. She's like, yeah, we're running.
All right, this is inside.
That's
this is great.
Yeah, so you got to find a friend that's
no,
weird
yeah,
enough
it's
to do
like,
that.
My buddy Jared, who's Boston Red Sox guy, you know, and like I'm not a big sports fan, but for me, looking at it from my perspective, it's like he'll be like, "Hey, man, we're going to go watch the game. Do you want to join?" I'm like, "Sure, I'll go drink beer." Well, you know, and he literally doesn't even go in the bar. He stays out in the front and like looks at ants on the curb, and he's like, "No, I can't even watch it." And I'm like, "We came here to watch the game." He's like, no. If I watch it, I'm gonna fuck it up. And it's like he's walking around the block. I'm like, "This is no fun at all."
Back when the Redskins went to what was it four Super Bowls in 9 years or whatever it was, I got to be that way, and it was so it was fucking painful to watch the games. Yeah. And I just got to the point where this was only a couple of years ago.
Interesting.
I realized this is fucking stupid. You can't place this much importance on total strangers. Here's the question I always had.
Yeah. And I wanted to ask Jared this. It's like, well, how much money would be a nice consolation? Because why don't you just bet that amount on the opposite?
Oh, there you go.
I mean, just hedge it. That way you're a winner either way.
Right. Either it's they like, win the game.
Hey, your team lost, but here's $1,000 or whatever. You know?
That's a great idea. Jeff, yeah. That's a great idea.
I've done that. It doesn't really work. Yeah. You're still sad.
Then you need to make more money. Get a bigger bet. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, there's got to be a flaw in there somewhere, but it just seems like if you're going to be that happy if they win, then just be like, all right, well, this is how much I'll pay. You're literally just paying.
I've reached a point where I'd like to be a fan of the Redskins, and I'm getting there. I'm a fan of Ohio State football. I'm a fan of Ohio State football in a healthy way. I mean, I don't really have to watch the games, but I want to know what happened.
Yeah.
And if I watch the games, I don't like get sick, you know, if they're losing or whatever. But that seems to me to be about the right, you know, a mentally healthy individual would. I can still turn it on and off though if the Redskins are involved. So,
well, I just went to visit my girl's family. They're from Kelowna, Canada, and they're all really into hockey.
Oh.
Up there. I mean, it's huge. Right. And I'm trying to fit in with everybody. It's like I don't follow even anything.
You want to get along.
Yeah. So here's what I did, and this is the advice I want to give to any non-sports fans out there. Okay. This works like a charm.
Right.
You're sitting there in the living room, the whole family, you know, the dad, the uncle, her brother, everybody. Everybody's into hockey, and they're asking you if you're into it, and it's just sort of like – there's a couple things I do. For one thing, like if I have a sandwich or something and it looks like somebody's about to ask me a question, I just take a big bite of the sandwich. That works. And then the other one is I went to Twitter and I just put the hashtag of the game. And in real time, there's all these people talking, and I'll just kind of sneak a peek at what they're saying on Twitter. And I'll be like, that's a great fucking idea. Whoa, the line between Dubois and what's-his-face is really looking good this game. And they're all like, yeah, it sure is, Henry, isn't it? And then there's whoever their announcer guy, Robertson. Hey, tell Robertson to shut the fuck up. Am I right?
it's like,
you literally just go to Twitter, and they're like, yeah, fuck that guy. You know, it's like...
That's great.
Yeah. It'd be a great app. You know, it's like you just have an earpiece and you just show up and the guy just feeds you everything to say.
That's a great idea.
It's good stuff.
Henry Phillips, if you are lucky enough to live in the Indianapolis area tonight, Henry Phillips will be at Morty's this evening for two shows. First one starts at 7:15. And then he's also at Morty's tomorrow night, Saturday.
Yeah, you got time to drive to get here for the Saturday.
Yeah, for tomorrow
That's
night.
Right.
Yeah, if you're, what, 6-8 hours away, let's be out. Yeah, come on over. And
come by tomorrow.
By tomorrow and hang out.
Get a hotel. No, and if I can say sincerely, I like this club a lot. And I had
Morty's
a lot of fun last night.
Yeah.
Everybody, Todd McComas said he'd come for the late show tonight. He's coming back from Houston. I don't know if you guys know Todd or whatever.
He was just sitting here Monday.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
In that exact chair.
Yeah, he's great. They're all great guys. Chris Bowers, you know, all these guys. So I am just really looking forward to, and Friday night is my party night because I don't have to fly the next day. I don't have radio.
Sleep in.
I've got nothing.
Right.
Yeah, so
now,
it's going to be fun.
Where are you next week? Or are you
next week? I'm gonna be back in LA for the next several weeks, promoting the movie.
Oh God!
Yeah, we're going to do some screenings, and I'm going to get a list of screenings, and I think I had Columbus, Ohio was on the list in terms of places that we're going to show it.
What about Indianapolis, so, Indiana?
I'd like to.
How about my house?
But
we could have a screening here at the house.
I think there's a distributor who figures all that out. I gave him the name of the one that showed our movie about 6 years ago. Oh. But see, the thing is, those deals are not as easy as you would think. You know, it's like it pretty much costs them money sometimes.
Okay, so you've got Henry's Kitchen.
Yeah.
You and Your Fucking Coffee. That's on you. Those are on YouTube?
Yeah, if people go to henryphillips.com, you'll see, if you go to the video section, you can see all the videos. And
Twitter at Henlips.
Yeah. Right?
At Henlips.
That's right. Henlips.
Are you on Instagram? You're not on Instagram yet, are you?
I'm on there. I have an account. I don't do it very often.
Well, you pick
I don't
that.
Instagram
you pick it
very
up,
often.
Pick it up.
Yeah, I know. And pick I got it on up, Snapchat, too, now.
Oh, I don't. I don't do stuff. I just do Twitter and Instagram.
Snapchat's where it's at, man.
I'm off Facebook.
I just announced an IPO.
What?
$3 billion
wow.
IPO.
Snapchat?
For Snapchat. Yes.
Well, check this out. It's a true story. I was in St. Louis, and somebody had told me Snapchat was where it was at, and so I was
word for word.
Snapchat's where it's at. So I'm sitting there at the bar before my show, and the bartender guy, you know, he's sort of younger dad type guy.
Hey there, bartender man.
Yeah. Younger dad guy. He looks like kind of a Greg Warren type, you know, sort of wrestling, probably a wrestler. And anyway,
old
he's
wrestler.
Talking about how his daughter is on Facebook or something, and she like has been doing these like sewing these Snoopy dolls or something and selling them to relatives, and he's like, yeah, she's actually making some money. It's pretty cool. And I go, well, you should tell her to get on Snapchat because that's apparently the big thing. And he's like, what is that? What's Snapchat? And there's a lady at the bar who goes, oh, yeah, keep her away from that. And he's like, what? Why do I want to keep her away? And she's like, that's the one where the kids take a picture of their genitals and then they, you know, it goes away. And I'm like, whoa. And then the guy looks at me. He's like, hey, buddy, my daughter's 12 years old. Why would I want her to be on your sick website? I'm like, look, I'm just telling you what some friends of mine told me. And they're like, yeah, there's no way to not look creepy. So is that the case? Is it people showing their genitals?
I think it's,
I mean, I want to at least get shaved down there before I start getting
Snapchat.
Yeah,
you got to keep house. You got to clean the house a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah.
You can show your genitals on any app. I mean, if you want to.
True. That's a good point.
Snapchat has had two little life cycles. They had an early one that was the case.
Yeah.
It kind of went away, and then of a sudden, younger kids took off with it, and it's basically their texting app now.
Yeah,
is that fair?
You can chat, and you can also, they have like these face filters where you can put, I'm a snorkeler right now, like it's a picture of me. And,
oh wow.
And now you're,
oh, that's very cool.
Can, yeah, it's like fish and you can snorkel. I don't know.
It's really weird.
I have to have you teach me Snapchat.
I think it's kind of dumb.
But I want to go where the kids are. Sounds creepy.
That was creepy.
Yeah. I want to go where the kids are.
How about I want to go where the young adults are?
There you go.
My thing on Snapchat is like I'm talking to girls, and when I first friend them on Snapchat, my name is Kush Smoka 69. So they'll just randomly have Kush Smoka 69 in front of them, and then there's a picture of me, and they go, wait, is this really you? And it's like, oh, yeah, that's me, baby, Kush Smoka.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, they love it.
Yeah.
Big Dick Boss right there. That's who that is. That's at the Jeff Vibbert on Twitter and Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
That's at Jason Hoffey on Twitter, and I'm the Chick McGee one on Twitter and the Chick McGee on Instagram. And that's Henry Phillips. At Henry Phillips, no, Henry Phillips.
At Henlips.
At Henlips on Twitter and henryphillips.com, right?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. And I think I'm Henlips on Instagram, too.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Henry, for coming by.
Thank you, guys. This was a lot of fun.
I'm gonna fall by at Morty's tonight and check you out, man.
Yeah, come on down. It's going
to
be
fun. Thank you, everybody, for listening to the Chick McGee Show. Good night, everybody!
Earn 4 times gas reward points during the Safeway Anniversary Sale. Look for the shelf tags for the participating items and get great anniversary prices and earn gas reward points too. This week, shop with your club card and pick up Gatorade 8-pack 20-ounce selected varieties 2 for $9 plus CRV. And Lay's potato chips 7.75 to 8 ounces 2 for $5. Maximum gas reward at participating Chevron or Texaco stations is 20 cents per gallon and $1 per gallon at Safeway stations in a single fill-up up to 25 gallons. Other restrictions, limitations, and exclusions apply. See complete details at Safeway.com.
Virginia buries its dead. I'm Rita Foley with an AP News Minute. Virginia Governor Terry McAuliffe is talking about President Trump's response to the violence in Charlottesville over the weekend at a white supremacist rally.
Those remarks are dividing people. We cannot be dividing people.
Governor McAuliffe told CBS this morning he knows two of the three people who were killed that day.
I have lost three great citizens yesterday, Heather Heyer's funeral. Tomorrow we will have to put to rest Trooper Burke Bates, who had been part of my executive protection detail, and then on Saturday, Lieutenant Jay Cullen, who'd been my pilot. This breaks your heart.
Heather Heyer died when a car rammed a group of protesters. The two Virginia State Troopers were killed while monitoring the rally when their helicopter went down. Prison visitations are off at a state facility or all state facilities in Florida, where they say they have credible intelligence indicating some sort of security threat. There are no details available yet. I'm Rita Foley.